This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. You're listening to the Evening Edition, and I'm Uma Pagan Ampike Pagan. Now, tonight we have something a little bit special. We sent out our intrepid trainee producer, Rahma Pauzi, to do a story about Hari Raya. What she did was to speak to people who celebrated Hari Raya pre-independence and get their stories.
Hari Raya Aidilfitri is only a week away. Many people are now busy preparing themselves to welcome the month of Shawwal. Some of us are already asking about each other's plans for balik kampung and also open house, while others are already preparing menus and getting raya cookies ready for the big day. A couple of weeks back, when my parents were busy decorating my house to welcome the fasting month of Ramadan, I started thinking, how was Raya like back in the old days? When my mom was replacing our living room's curtains, I wondered, how did people welcome Raya back in the pre-independence days, in the 1940s and the 1950s, when they barely had anything to eat? Because of this, I decided to interview some people who has experience celebrating Raya back in the 1940s to 1950s. What was Raya like when they were kids? Was it very exciting? I spoke to National Laureates A. Samad Said and Muhammad Haji Saleh, former Assistant Governor of Bank Negara Datuk Latifah American, and also Zahara Muhammad Noor, a school teacher, about their Raya experiences.
We enjoyed it. We looked forward to it. That was it. It was something really very special because life was so simple. There was no such thing as outside entertainment. There was no such thing as party or birthday celebration. So Raya was the celebration of the year. So everyone was so excited. It didn't matter what sort of clothes we wore, but they were new clothes. The excitement of shopping, going out to buy shoes, it didn't matter whether the shoes were cheap or not. Coming from a very large family where there was no outside help, so everything was done by the family. And life was much simpler then. Everything was homemade, and the preparation for Raya was actually a collective, shall we say, effort. And of course, now when I look back, I realize my mother must have had a really, really tough time with all the preparations.
My father, in his birth cert, says Jawi Pekan. Jawi Pekan are actually the Indian Muslims who adopted Malay culture, Malay language, but most of them actually married at Malay wives. And basically on my mother's side is Mindi Aceh Kedah. So it is Malay style of Raya. I remembered the Raya time because when you are young, you know, time seems so slow. You know, like, okay, when you are fasting, when you were young, it seems the day was so long before you book up puasa. And then as Raya comes nearer, it seems even more distant because you are so anxious to wear your new clothes because you only get new clothes that time of the year. And I remembered, you know, during the days of the can-can, I think you young people don't even know what can-can is. Layers and layers of stiff netting. And my mother, you know, she'll make the dress and you wear this can-can and so that your dress is, you know, like a big flare skirt. Even if it is just 5 days away, that it is so far away that, you know, you are so anxious to show off, you know, your new clothes. And we did get, at least in my family, with my sisters, a reputation for having really nice clothes.
And of course, we cannot talk about Raya without talking about the fasting month as well. For Muhammad Haji Saleh and A. Samad Said, fasting as kids during the war in 1940s really taught them to be more appreciative of life.
I came from not a well-to-do family, but everybody else was not well-to-do. I can imagine my father talking about the uses of fasting and also difficulties with those who do not have much to eat or to empathize their hunger. But for young boys, this could not happen fully. And boys at that age, I think, or girls too, were hungry all the time. And after the war, there was not much to eat anyway. And we boys depended on fruits and ulams, mangoes, or whatever you can get. This was our salad. We ate the main meal at home. Our salad was outside. And we were hunters and gatherers, really. And very basic life. But it was fun, I think, while it lasted.
Saya pikir zaman yang paling melekat sekali ialah di zaman Jepun, masa penjajahan Jepun. Dan memang setiap hari raya, tiap puasa itu kami sentiasa berlegar di sekitar masjid, di samping beribadah lah cara budak-budak itu dan kita amalkan. Tapi tujuan utamanya ialah untuk tunggu waktu bubur diagihkan. Itu sebenarnya tunggu. Nah, kadang-kadang ada orang bagi uang dan apa. Tapi memang susah, memang susah. Jadi hari raya itu adalah setidak-tidaknya satu minggu yang senang lah. Lepas itu susah balik.
Coming up next, Muhammad Haji Saleh and Zahara will share some of the raya traditions that they used to do and also some traditions that they never practiced back when they were kids.
You're listening to our special Oral History of Hari Raya edition on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is The Evening Edition, and I'm Uma Pagan Ampike Pagan. We're going to be continuing our Hari Raya Oral History show. Take it away, Rama.
Malaysians celebrate Raya every year. Most of us have become so accustomed to certain rituals and traditions, and we often take them for granted. However, Raya, as a lot of other religious and cultural celebrations, has been celebrated in different ways and continues to evolve over the decades. Here is Muhammad Haji Saleh and Zahara talking about how they experienced Raya back in the 40s and in the 50s.
How was it like celebrating Raya back then?
Two things stand out. One, when I was asked to carry the syrup or the breakfast table, and I tasted it before breakfast. And the other one was when we went to see this movie in Nibung Tebal, the biggest town then. It was called Aloha, about Hawaii and about love too, yeah? And the girls were very well dressed and pretty and in Hawaiian clothes, in hula hula clothes. We would line up at the ticket booth and we would line up for about an hour before it was open. But when it was open, these big boys rushed over our head and got the tickets first. So we were just pushed out and with our songkok crumpled.
This was all during Raya?
And this was all during Raya. But the movie usually was at the center of the Raya. For kids, in those days, every Raya, they had a special movie. So it was a ritual, it was a chore, and it was the center of the day itself. Of course, we went to the prayers, we went to collect the money from our relatives, but the movie was the most important.
Something that we did not practice as children, surprise, was to ask for forgiveness from our parents. I don't remember doing that at all. No, we never did. I don't remember getting up in the morning and going and salam. But now we all do that. Now all of us do that. So I don't know at which point we started doing it. But I think after we all got married, and there's so much, oh yes, I think it's because of this advent of TV. You see it on TV. That's right. You see it all on TV. You know, the depiction of this culture was on TV. And therefore we brought up our children according to that. Because I don't remember going up to my mother and my father on Hari Raya and asking for forgiveness.
So that was something learned based on the cultural depiction.
Yes. To me, that was how I got into it. And so Raya sort of automatically, because everybody's doing it, we thought. So my children would come after their prayers, come back, and would give me a big hug, which I get probably once a year, and then asking for forgiveness from each other. But that's a nice part of it, you know, especially if you go back to a family home. That is actually when you see the togetherness of the whole family.
When we come back, A. Samad Said, Latif American, Muhammad Najib Saleh and Zahara Muhammad Noor will continue to talk more about Raya traditions, how our socio-political landscape changed Raya over the years, and what they look forward to when they were growing up.
You're listening to the Evening Edition. More Hari Raya oral history after the news. BFM 89.9. Good evening, I'm Umar Pagan, I'm Pake Pagan, and you're listening to the Evening Edition. Now, we set our trainee producer, Rahma Pauzi, a little task. We wanted her to put together a Hari Raya oral history show, to go out and collect stories from some of the people that celebrated Raya before independence. She managed to speak to two national laureates, a former assistant governor of Bank Negara and a former school teacher. Not a bad job, all in all. Now, here's Rahma with their stories.
Back in the pre-independence days, when life was so simple, people were more traditional in their Raya preparation. And with it came the fondest Raya memories. Here is Zahara.
Even the cookies were all homemade. We didn't have an oven, you know, and what was the oven? The oven was charcoal below and on a huge pot, empty pot. And the baking trays would be on that. And there would be, what do you call it, and there would also be charcoal on top. And yet their most gorgeous marble cake, the most beautiful biscuits came out from that makeshift oven. And it was my job to sit there and put the cherries on all those little cookies and then to pile them up, put them in layers in the tin. They were all kept in tins. So that was the excitement.
Sometimes we can be quite nostalgic when we reminisce about the more inclusive Hari Raya that we had back in the good old days. Open house was really open, where everyone was welcome and the Raya spirit was widely shared among people, regardless of their background.
Maybe as you get older, you become more nostalgic, I don't know. But I still like the old days where you open the, you know, okay, today is Raya, anybody can come, and we are so happy. And if people call, come, and things like that. But you don't get that now. And like way before the end of Puasa, you will get all these invitations. And they are all corporate invites. I mean, when I was in Bank Negara, I would get from all the banks. Yeah, I was assistant governor of Bank Negara. And it's all because of your position. So I go to CIMB, I get big welcome and all that. And then, of course, I'll get from ministers' homes and things like that. Then you have a few friends who will invite you. But again, when you go to your friend's house, you find it is like a corporate function. It's not where you sit inside the house. You are always outside the house, you know? And then the function is not the traditional nasi tomato or whatever. It is really catered food. You know, it is a Raya event, but it doesn't have all, you know, you don't have that traditional Raya feel, and you are not inside the house talking with the family.
Latif American sentiment is also shared with A. Samad Said. He criticizes the modern Raya open house tradition that is often used as a stage to spread political messages by influential figures and also organizations.
Orang berpengaruh lah, misalan orang siasa akan jemput semua orang-orang miskin datang yang tidak berlaku dulu. Jadi niatnya ya berhari raya juga sebenarnya, tapi serentak dengan itu niatnya ialah untuk mempengaruhi. Dan selain itu saya pikir sekarang kementerian-kementerian dan organisasi-organisasi juga jemput lah, dan masing-masing mempunyai niatnya sendiri lah juga niatnya, selain daripada memang mengamalkan apa yang dirangsang oleh agama.
And here he mentions another raya tradition that is slowly being forgotten due to technological advancement, which is the sending of raya cards to family members.
Hari raya dulu kan kita antar kad, kad hari raya ataupun kita pilih keluarga-keluarga tertentu untuk lawat. Ya sekarang orang tidak antar kad lagi ya, orang SMS hari raya ataupun orang Twitter hari raya. Dan jemputan pun gunakan media barulah. Jadi tidak begitu kita merasa akrab atau gembira dulu kalau setiap hari postman datang kita tunggu tengok siapa orang ini ingat dan kita sedia untuk membalas juga sebenarnya.
Meanwhile, here is Muhammad Haji Saleh telling me how he spent his day during fasting month with his friends as a kid.
Usually also we'll go on our bikes with the sarong tied to our neck, and when you go very fast, the sarong will fly up, and here you have both Batman and Superman and any other flying objects combined, but you need to go very, very fast.
What's your favorite Raya song or whatever song that you hum during Raya?
I like Saloma's Selamat Hari Raya. I think that's the best, and she's also a wonderful singer with a soul, with a sense of music that nobody can beat, I think, yeah. And I think that's also the most played tune during Hari Raya. And we need it to give a sense of the festivities, a sense of the day, and lucky that we have songs like hers. And I also like Fazira Junits. What is it called? Selamat Hari Raya also. Yeah, it's a little sexy. It's nice, yeah. P. Ramlee's song? Boleh juga lah. Boleh juga, cantik, nice. Especially for those who are far away from the village, yeah?
Rendang Perantau,
that's right, yeah. Okay.
It seems that back in the days when Malaysia was still Malaya, every state had its own unique way of celebrating Hari Raya Aidilfitri. However, with the increasing urban migration, Raya celebration is becoming more and more homogenous. As a melting pot, KL also makes it a little harder now to trace back the origin of each Raya's tradition. Listening to stories by people who've experienced Raya definitely helps us trace back some of our cultural roots. But maybe Raya isn't meant to be static. Maybe 50 years ago, they were coveting the celebratory traditions of a more bygone era, just as what we are doing now. So the question is, how many more generations will make the same assumptions? I'm gonna leave you with one of Muhammad Haji Saleh's favorite Raya songs. Here is an instrumental version of Dendang Perantau by P. Ramlee. I am Rahma Pauzi, and you're listening to the evening edition Hari Raya Oral History on BFM 89.9.
That was the evening edition. Trainee producer Rahma Pauzi helping to tell the story of a raya of days gone by. You've been listening to the evening edition on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.